Good morning, church. It is good to be together this morning. Well, this week, we are continuing our series. Pastor Thad began last week in this series that we are calling Passionately. And in this series, Pastor Thad, he set the stage for us of why we say we want to be a church that passionately follows Christ. He started with a statement, and he said this. He said, are you willing to fully give? Are you willing to fully surrender? Are you willing to fully do whatever it takes to passionately follow Christ? And he said this, the reason that we want to passionately follow Christ, the reason we want to passionately follow Jesus is because, church, there is no other way to follow Jesus. And I love this statement. What a great challenge for us. The reason we passionately follow Jesus is because there's no other way to follow Jesus. And so in this, as we respond to that, if we say, yes, that's who I want to be. Yes, that's the church we want to be, that we passionately are about following Jesus. We also come and say this, the way that we passionately follow Jesus, the way we do it is through a lifestyle of discipleship. If we want to be a church that's passionately following Jesus, this morning we want to begin to answer the question of how. How do we go about doing that? And we recognize that we need to be a church that is about living a lifestyle of discipleship. And so as we come to this phrase, passionately following Christ, we have to remember it cannot end there. The last part of it isn't just a little tagline. It is the necessity of seeing this happen. We have to be about passionately following Christ together. This is what it takes, because I cannot, you cannot, we cannot do this alone. And so as we come together as a church this morning, we want to say, Lord, how can we be a church that is about passionately following you together? So turn with me to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Matthew chapter 28. You might be familiar with that. Probably a verse that we have heard many times, Matthew chapter 8, starting with verse 18. And as you're turning there, I'll be in the CSB, but just kind of set you up a little bit for this. Because these, as we come across these words, are the last words of Jesus to those that he has been living life with, those as he has been teaching, those that have witnessed the miracles, the power, the love, the radical kingdom that he came to begin to set up, that we are a part of as well. And you can imagine now, as they're just listening right here, Jesus is coming, and these are going to be his words right before he leaves and ascends to heaven. Here is what he comes to them to say. And they are just as significant as he spoke them to them in that moment, as he also speaks them to us today. So would you stand with me as we begin? And we're going to read this together. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. It says, Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So God, we pray this morning that you would make these words come alive in our hearts, come alive in our minds. Lord, we want to hear from you this morning. So speak to us. Help us see what you were saying to them then and what you are also saying to us today. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm sure that many of us might be familiar with this verse. I grew up in the church, and so if I'm honest, I've heard this verse being preached on or taught on in various ways for like 30-something years. We're just going with 30-something years, all right? 30-something years of my life, okay? And in the middle of this, most of the time, if not all the time, every time I've heard this verse talked about, it's usually been about the topic of missions or evangelism. And maybe that's been your experience as well. But I want to challenge this morning to maybe say this, and don't throw anything at me yet, but to say, you know, in fact, I would say this is missions and evangelism is not the main point of this verse. In fact, I would say as we look at this, we want to see what is the mission that God is putting his church on. We see this right away at the beginning. The mission that he's putting his church on is to be a church that goes and makes disciples. That's the mission. That's what he's calling each and every one of us to be a part of. That's what he's calling us to. It's his church, just as he was calling them then, he still calls us today. But I don't know if you're like me. I have a 7-year-old son, and when I want to put my 7-year-old son on mission, let's say cleaning his room, how many of you, if you've got that 7-year-old kid, say to that kid, just go clean your room, and you just leave it at that, because you know that's enough. No, of course not. No, what I do, okay, go clean your room. Now let me talk about how I want you to clean your room. I want you to take your clothes and put them in the dresser, and I want you to take the toys and put them in the toy box, and I want you to take the Legos, and I want you to put the Legos away where they go. And so in the same way that we just naturally know, we put them on the mission, but we got to tell them the how at the same time. So Jesus, as he put us on a mission, he also gave us the how. And now we can get into the rest of the verses. So he says, go and make disciples. We first get the first how that he gives us to be a part of being his people, making disciples. And the first is baptize. And as we get to this one baptism, what he's not just commanding us to make sure everyone's baptized. What he's actually speaking to is the entire heart of evangelism. He's speaking to the heart of our need to be a church, as we might call it, to get out of our own doors, out of our own walls, and engage and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let people know the good news. Let them know what Jesus has done and the relationship that God desires to have restored with them. And then as they see that, as they see that in our lives, as they hear that in what we tell them, then as they at some point come by the power of the Holy Spirit and they surrender their lives to follow Jesus, the New Testament describes then what they would often do is they would surrender their lives to follow Jesus and immediately they would go and be baptized, because it was this picture physically of what God had just done spiritually. And so when he gives that first how of baptism, he's painting that picture of the entire process of reaching out, engaging, sharing the gospel, seeing people surrender their life to follow Jesus and joining the family of God. But then the next, it doesn't end there. He has to keep going. He says, now, after we've done that, we want to now teach them to live and obey everything that I've shown you. Teach them to live and observe, obey, depending on what translation you might have. And this is so important, because sometimes we can stop just with the word teach. And we think, if we just teach them. But that's not what he called us to. He called us to be about teaching, learning, taking in his words, so that it is something that is a part of transforming our lives as we observe and we obey and we follow Jesus together the way he has called us to live. It's not enough just to teach. We got to be about helping each other live out the teachings of Jesus. But then last, as he comes to this, he also says this, which is just as essential to living all of this out. We can't be a part of everything else he's said so far without understanding this truth, that we must be about living in relational communion with Jesus. He said, remember, just as I have been walking with you, helping you, teaching you, bringing you to this point, it's not done. Remember, I am with you always. The Spirit of God is in us, walking with us, speaking to us, teaching us through his word, through each other, so that we can be a church that is about fully living out this incredible commission that God has given us. And this is the big picture. If we want to know really how to passionately follow Jesus, we come back and realize if we're going to be about passionately follow Jesus, we have to be a church that is passionate about living a lifestyle of discipleship, taking what Jesus, the mission he's called us to, and really being about how do we accomplish this the way he has given it to us. And I just want to connect a few things for us here. When we say follow, we mean be a disciple. When we say we're going to follow Jesus, we mean where Jesus says go, we're going to go. What he says do, we want to do. We want to be about learning and seeing what he does, seeing how he did it, and seeing what Jesus wants to accomplish in our lives overflowing for others to see as well. That is why we want to be passionately following, because we're passionately discipling and being disciples of Jesus. And there's a lot in this that we're going to get into over the next year of what this looks like. This is kind of the big view as we're stepping back, as we begin to see what Jesus is calling us to. But really the foundation of this is seen in the series we did this fall. You guys remember the name of the series? What was it? Life According To? Jesus, there was like one guy that knew that in the first service. I think he was the only one here all summer. But Life According To Jesus. And that's what it is. Learning what Jesus commanded us to do. And that begins as we begin to open God's word as the foundation of all of that, to begin to passionately follow Christ and live this discipleship lifestyle. So this is the thing we've got to remember as we get into this day. If we want to be a church that is about making disciples, all right, hear this. If we want to be a church that is about making disciples, we have to be a church of disciples. I'll say it again. If we want to be a church that is about making disciples, we absolutely have to be a church of disciples. of people seeking to follow Jesus, seeking to live this out, seeking to speak into each other's lives so that we can begin to live this out more and more. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to say, all right, so what would this look like for us to begin to follow what Jesus says? If we're going to take this mission that he's put us on, look at how he did it. We're going to say, okay, so what is the discipleship model or the pathway that Jesus had for his disciples? Can you imagine these guys? Even as he says, go and make disciples, it can seem like, well, what did he mean by that? Well, one of the reasons he didn't have to explain it too much to them because they have spent the last 3 years with Jesus experiencing a life of discipleship. They've been sitting under, watching what Jesus did, how he did it, speaking to them, encouraging them, calling them out and teaching them and showing them what discipleship looked like. So when he says, go and make disciples, he's saying, go and do what we've been doing the past 3 years and multiply that across the world, in your churches, in the lives of people that you come to, in the lives of people that decide to follow Christ, multiply that. And so what we want to do is we want to start and look at what was Jesus doing. And so we're going to call the disciples the pathway of Jesus by the numbers. And the only reason we're doing that is because that the idea of the numbers gives us a language. It gives us an understanding of what were the various things that Jesus was doing that was a part of his ministry of discipleship. So if you're a very literal person, don't look at the numbers literally, okay? These are a picture, all right? So don't get caught up in literal numbers. Instead, look to see what is the example of what Jesus was doing in each of these pieces to show us what a life of discipleship, what his own discipleship pathway would have looked like in his own ministry. So let's start with that. We start with the first number, 5,000. And maybe you can guess where we're going with that. This is Jesus's unreached community. Those in the outside of his main circle of people who knew who he was and knew what was going on. If you think of the story of the 5,000, and it says that Jesus came in, and when he landed, he got off his boat, and he saw this large crowd, and he just had compassion on them. They were just looking, trying to figure this out. They probably didn't know who this guy was. They just knew something was happening and wanted to try to figure it out. And then he calls disciples and he said, all right, you need to start also being about loving on these people. Then this for us as a church, this is our La Crosse area. This is our world. And for us, if you want to go with our language, we would say, this is who we engage with. So when we say we're going to be a church that engages, this is what we're talking about as a part of Jesus' model. Pastor Billy, Parker Robbie, they're going to talk about the next couple weeks, so I'm not going to spend any time on this one. We're going to come back to that as a church. So if you're looking for it, hey, we are going to come back to this. But I want to keep going and see the next pieces. So next we see the 120. And for us, this is the church that showed up. If you actually remember, in Acts chapter 1, after Jesus has left, all the ministry had done, speaking to thousands, healing hundreds, all the things that he did. And in that moment, there was 120 people that said, you know what, we're here. We want to be a part of what Jesus wanted us to do. We don't know if we have it all figured out. We don't know if we know all the answers, but we know we want to be a part of what Jesus was calling us to do. And church, for us, this is our church family. In fact, this would be how we initially say, as a church family, we want to make sure that we gather together every week. So this is this right here. We get together, we're saying we're in. We don't say we all have it all figured out, but we want to begin to be a part of this as a church family. And then next, we come to the next number, the 12. And you might be able to guess more what this is. Might be more familiar, because this is the people that Jesus experienced life with. And there's so many beautiful stories of this throughout the gospel. This is his group that he did life with. He studied with. In fact, he didn't just study. He actually came in and he helped them understand what he was doing to bring about life application. Don't just hear what I've said. Let me show you what you can do with it, how you can take it and begin to live that. And that often occurred, not just through the big rooms or when he was preaching to the 5,000, but that actually occurred as he would get with them in these smaller groups and begin to explain to them and teach them how to begin to live the teachings that he was bringing to them. And often we stop with this number right here. And this is where our grow groups come and play. This is why grow groups are an essential part of the life of Bethany Family, because we understand how they were an essential part to the life and ministry of Jesus and his call and his example he was giving us for discipleship. But although we often stop here, there's more. And the next number I want to bring up is the number 3. And these were the people that Jesus went deeper with. And if you might know who those three are, at least in the life of Jesus, these were Peter, James, and John. And these were three guys that he would take, and he would say, all right, guys, I'm going to just take you guys and go up, and we're going to talk about this, or I want you to see this, and I want you to know this. I want to show you something that's for you guys, because I want to help you go deeper in your relationship, deeper in your understanding, deeper in what you see to know what God is doing. And this is a new thing that I want to talk about today, this idea of something we would call transformation groups. These places of deeper study and accountability where we begin to walk in discipleship to experience deeper and powerful transformation. So just put a pin in that for this moment. I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes, but hold on to that idea of the three, because there's still one more number that I want to bring up to you. And this next number right here is the one. This is the one Jesus loved. For Jesus, this was the Apostle John. But it just wasn't seen in the life of Jesus. We saw this life of Paul and his ministry as well. But truly, this was, you might say, and maybe you've heard this phrase before, the 3 a.m. friend. This is that person when life is crashing down all around you, when it just seems like everything is falling apart and you're not sure what to do or how you're going to get through this. Who is that first person that you absolutely know that you can call? When Jesus was that moment, and as he was hanging on the cross, as he looked down, he saw his 3 a.m. friend John, and he said, John, would you please take care of my mother? And this is just as important to our discipleship life, because each of us needs this person in our life as well. And so what we do is we see this picture of now this pathway that Jesus began to walk. And each level is important. And though we're not going to talk about the 5,000, what I want to do for today is focus on the next numbers and kind of take a zoom in on these right here. Because what we see within each of these groups of people, we see something very special about the way Jesus went about discipleship. They weren't just four random groups of people. The 12 people, they came out of that 120. And the three people, they came out of that 12. And that one came out of that 12 and the three. And this is an important piece, I think, of understanding the model and ministry that Jesus had for discipleship. But we're going to come back to that in a few moments and a little bit here. But just to hold on to this, of why this is such an important truth to understand. Because now as we look at the discipleship pathway of Jesus, what I want us to do next is just begin to understand, what is discipleship? Help us to understand a little bit more. What does it mean that we want to be about a lifestyle of discipleship? What does this look like? What does this mean? So I just want to give us a few definitions or a few ways of beginning to understand this from a book called Growing Up. And it's a great book that we've been reading with a few of our leaders in the church. Other ministries are implementing this as well. And so I want to bring it to you this morning. But don't see this as this. Discipleship, intentionally equipping believers. And notice that word equipping. This is why we're a church. It's not just about a pursuing, but equipping to passionately follow Christ. Intentionally equipping believers with the word of God through accountable relationships. Just hold on to that word right there. Accountable relationships. Empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to replicate, to multiply, to see more faithful followers of Christ. And he goes on and he says, disciple making, it should be an outflow of meaningful relationships. There's that word again. Built within the course, and hear this, of daily life. This is where we begin to understand that discipleship is a lifestyle. Discipleship must be a way of life and understanding what Jesus did. Because if we're going to understand the discipleship pathway of Jesus, there's an important truth that we have to understand. And I grew up in the church, and I do not know if someone ever actually told me this. And so I want to make sure you hear today is that in order to understand the discipleship pathway of Jesus, we have to understand that we never, ever leave the discipleship lifestyle or process. That never ends in our life. It is not something we graduate from. It's not something we get all of a sudden to this point in our spiritual life, and I'm good with being discipled, and now I can just move on. It is nothing. It's something that we never leave. In fact, hear me say this morning. I need discipleship in my life to me just as much today as I needed it 25 years ago when I first surrendered my life to follow Jesus. I need it in my life today. People speaking into my life, challenging me, helping me, discipling me, even as I disciple others and speak into others. But I need it just as much in my life today as I did 25 years ago. And so we've seen what Jesus did. We've seen this pathway, the model, the example that he was giving to us, what the disciples would have understood when he said, go and make disciples. They knew, go and do what Jesus was doing and bring that to the nations. And so this morning, I want to share with you, as we've looked at discipleship pathway Jesus, I want to talk to you more now about the discipleship pathway of Bethany. And begin to help you see this morning in some place we believe as leaders, elders, and pastors, that God is calling us a church in order to be a church that is more about fulfilling that commission that God has given us. Being a church that is about making disciples. And so as we look at the pieces that make up the life of Bethany, even make up much of the ministry of Jesus, we see those within the life of our church. We see that we have worship services as we gather together, the 120 come. We see we've got our small groups communities. I know there are those out there within that deeper level, maybe of study or relational accountability. And there's those that have those close friends. Maybe you have some, maybe you have a few, maybe you have all. I don't know where you're at. But within all of those, as we look at those, we begin to see an understanding of the ministry of Jesus. We see all the pieces. But there's a few problems with this. Although we have all the pieces, we're missing something. See, the problem as we look at this, as they're all spread out, often what happens in our lives is they all tend to be different groups of people. Hopefully at least connected to the same church, but they tend to be, here's kind of my small group, or here's maybe my deeper group, and here's maybe who my closest friends are that I might go to. And in that, we begin to run into this tension that often happens in our spiritual lives that we may not be fully aware of that can easily rob us of experiencing the discipleship lifestyle we are created for. And that is, as we're in all these different groups, what ends up happening, it is very hard to be fully known. And it's hard for me to fully know you. Matt Chandler talks about this, and he talks about how when there's those pieces in our lives where we are not fully known, that be recognizing that I only have so much relational capacity, there's only so much that I can give if I'm giving just a little bit here, and I'm giving some here, and I'm giving some here, because like Jesus, we are also limited in our humanity as he was when he walked this earth, fully man and fully God, and it limited our relational capacity, how much we can pour out, how much that we can give in our humanity. And so Jesus, even as he gave us the model, I think was on purpose recognizing the need in our own weaknesses, our own struggles. If we're going to experience discipleship, we've got to go deeper than just little bits of ourselves, all these different groups. Then in order to get to a place, I need to be fully known, because those little bits and pieces that aren't known, And often we don't know they're there either. Maybe we do, but often we don't know they're there either. And so we end up hiding parts of ourselves, maybe on accident, maybe on purpose. And those pieces that we end up hiding are the ones where the enemy comes in and begins to say, good, I'll take that. And I'll take that. And I'm going to use that to shame you, or I'm going to use that to hold you captive, or I'm going to use that to keep you just a little bit farther away from where God's wanting you to go. And so now we understand this beautiful summer, I think, of the model of Jesus. One more for you. Understand that discipleship, this is why discipleship has to be more relational. Why discipleship has to be more one-on-one. Jesus chose 12 and he lived with them. He explained to them. He gave them assignments. He debriefed with them to shape and to mold them. His sermons no doubt helped convey the truth. But he had to follow up most of that with what now would be called discipling, as it integrates intimate, accountable relationships. And it's recognizing we need this, but this cannot be enough. It is not enough. We cannot begin and end here. We have to go farther. But even as we see all this, if we want to go to the depth of being known and fully known and seeing this life transformational relationship with Christ and with others that he's called us to, we can't just go at it like this. In fact, we need one little shift as we need to come together and bring it into this picture, reflecting more of what I believe we saw Jesus do in his model of discipleship. And how he began to live that out. Remember I said, look at the fact how all these relationships are connected. And here we see a picture of how we can begin to follow that same example of Jesus. And I believe without a doubt that in this approach right here, we see more power in our spiritual lives. We see more transformational fruit in our lives. I have the ability to get more of what I need. And you have the ability to get more of what you need as we begin to walk this together. And the other one has all the right pieces. Don't get me wrong, all these look good, but it's not enough just to have these. We need them together to experience a true depth of a discipleship lifestyle together. Because this is the lifestyle we're meant to live together. And we see it in the lifestyle of Jesus. And so as it comes together, we recognize, you know, God has done many great things through all these different pieces. And maybe you're like me, where you've had an impact. They've had an impact on your life, and God's used those to help grow you and disciple you. And what we're saying today is, hey, let's just build on what God's already been doing, and let's just go to the next level of what he could take us to as a church. And this brings us to what I want to share with you more today, which is truly the discipleship pathway of Bethany. How we come from the front door, walking in the front door on a morning like today, to passionately following Christ together. From the front door to passionately following Christ together. And so what I want to share first is why grow groups? Why do we start with grow groups? If you've been here a while, you've obviously heard that as a church come out a lot of times. We're inviting you to grow groups. You heard that in that video we shared a few minutes ago. And I want to share with you why we start with grow groups. Grow groups are for the greater church family. All right, this is the greater church family of Bethany, to have a mini church family, which is essential for the life of a follower of Christ. In grow groups, we walk side by side with each other through authentic relationships. One of our values as a church is authentic relationships. We need it. We recognize it, that just surface relationships, they don't take us where Jesus wants us to go. It's easy to stay hidden. It's easy to stay in the back. It's easy to just be like, oh, but you know, at least I can hang out here and not have to go any farther. And they rob us of the abundant life that God desires us to have and experience in relationship with each other through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we want to be grow groups that walk side by side with each other in authentic relationships to see tangible growth in our Christian life, supporting each other to passionately follow Christ through the Acts 2:42 model. I don't know if you remember this, but several years ago in the fall, we kicked off the fall and through a series that we called Devoted, in which we went through Acts 2:42. And in that, we began to really unpack, what does it look like to be devoted, as the early church was, to passionately following Jesus? And as we looked at these examples, one of the things that we came back and just had to realize in the reality of looking at all of these things, that I can only do so much in this room right here. You and I can only experience so much of the abundant life, of the depth of relationships that Christ has for us. To experience the life that he has for us, of passionately following him, of being devoted to prayer, to teaching, to living in communion together, supporting each other, getting each other, living side by side. There's only so much we can do right here. We are in a desperate need to come from this into the next stage of life, into the next stage of discipleship. And for us at Bethany, that's grow groups. And this is a big part of, again, how we believe God began many, many years ago and how we could begin to become a disciple-making church. And this is beautiful for us. But I want you to know, even though we believe so much in this, we also understand that this is not the beginning and the end. It's just the beginning. Because as in the model of Jesus, and if you're not a grow group, I want to invite you to join in with us on this, to kind of come in and enter this pathway with us as well. We'd love to have you join us, but we know it can't end here. We know that in that reflection, the model of Jesus, we want to move from the 12 and begin to enter into that 3 in what I said we're going to call transformation groups. And I want to take just a few moments this morning and give you just a little taste of why this is so important for us, because we recognize this is a huge part of relational disciple making. This is a huge part of side-by-side. Because here's the thing, our grow groups are fantastic. They are foundational, they're important. When we're together in our grow groups, men and women, husbands and wives, couples, as we're wrestling through and taking the teaching of Sunday morning, going deeper, seeing the application, so important for our Christian life. But there are times that we're gonna come across something, a topic, we're gonna be going through something we just can't share in that room or feel comfortable sharing with everyone. And so one of the things that often we have done in our grow group, and I've been encouraging other grow group leaders to do over the last couple of years, is a couple times a month, break up and get into just gender groups. Because there's something that I may not be comfortable sharing from everyone, but get me with those few guys that I've been doing life with. Maybe I'm now ready to take that risk. And the same thing, where my wife may not be comfortable sharing with everyone else, get her with those ladies. Now she can be willing to begin to share and take that risk, and we can begin to speak into each other. And in this, we begin to go deeper into transformational living. And so in these groups, it's things we just want to see. We want to see the ability to see in these gender-based kind of type of discipleship relationships that come, and also experience living out discipleship, be willing to even go deeper into our Bible studies. One of the things that we can do in our transformation groups is, as a church, we go through this depth of where we're going on Sunday mornings and our teaching, like we did this summer, Life According to Jesus. But the reality is, too, as you get together, you might realize, man, there's just something as guys we're just wrestling with, as ladies we're wrestling with, and we need to go study this. We need to get into the Word a little bit more on this topic. We need to see what Jesus has for us. And this is a great time, an opportunity within those groups to get into that and get into deeper study of God's word together, knowing what God is uniquely saying he wants to do in your life and in the life of your girl group. And then what we enter, we enter this beautiful picture of something called relational accountability. And if you're not familiar with this word, I just want to kind of paint a picture of what that could look like for you. Because this is a beautiful picture. And since my girl group is like here right now, and Steve is on the front row. Steve. No, don't come up. No. But what happens is as Steve and I are willing to take the risk and go a little bit deeper in our relationship, maybe break into this world a little bit, which we're doing right now in our lives, as we begin to do that, then Steve can say, hey, David, I love you, man, but I'm just seeing this thing in your life. Maybe he says, I'm just seeing you, like, you seem to be really short with your kids. Or you seem to be short with your wife. Is there something going on there? Like, can I help you? Can I get behind you? Can I love on you? And then I could say, I didn't even see it, but you're probably right. Maybe this is going on with me, and because I had a brother that was willing to risk and go a little deeper with me, then the Holy Spirit begins to work deeper in my heart, and he helps me begin to walk that in my life. Not just in that one time we met or those few weeks that we're meeting, but because we're experiencing life together as well. And the same thing, I might come and say, Steve, this is an incredible thing that God's asking me to do in my life. And so I need you to help me do it because I don't want to. You ever been there? And then Steve says, yeah, I'll help you do it. And over the course of the next weeks and the next months, he helps me begin to, in that relational accountability, walk what we know God is asking us to do in our lives, in our hearts. This is a beautiful thing. And this is what we mean when we talk about passionately living this lifestyle together. It's like, I need Steve. Steve needs me. He's agreeing. Okay, I just want everyone to know that part. So we need each other. And that's why you've got to hear, guys, I need this. I need both of this in my life. I've had seasons where I only had one. And although I could see God working, there were things in my life that also weren't going right. There was things I was holding on to. I wasn't as fully known as I needed to be in my spiritual life. And through this, I saw God begin to work. As I went deeper with others, I saw him begin to challenge me and begin to do a work in my life as I got to experience more transformation. And I got to experience more of the discipleship life that God has called me to. And over the next year or so, you're going to hear more about how we're going to be doing this more through our grow groups, how we want to partner with our ministry to men and women to help us enter into these transformational group relationships, to really, as a church, come together and begin to walk this discipleship lifestyle together. Because there's something that we need to understand about this. As we look at this picture of this pathway, it's important that we understand that although this is a beautiful thing, and we've talked a lot about what this can do in my life, this is way bigger than you and me. It's way bigger than just my life or my family. Because we got a mission that God has given us that is a continual mission that he's put us on. Because what happens as we come together in groups like this, if you're willing to walk this and I'm willing to walk this, as we begin to walk this, then we come together in one group and another group and another group and another group, and then we come together as a church unified in walking this discipleship life that God has called us to, and this example, beautiful example given to us by Jesus. As we walk this together, we become many churches all over the city, impacting homes, impacting neighborhoods, impacting workplaces, impacting schools, because of the transformational work God is doing in us as that begins to overflow into those places and people see Jesus. And this is a beautiful, beautiful picture, I believe, of what Jesus was calling his church to all the way back in Matthew 28. And it's a beautiful thing that we believe that God has called to be our primary way of beginning to make disciples here at Bethany. How we begin to walk this together as a church. But I want to step back for just a moment and just kind of start with this question this morning. How do I join this discipleship pathway at Bethany? You might be hearing this morning saying, okay, all right, I hear this. It kind of can make sense, but now what? What is it I'm called to do? And I want to be really, really honest with you, is that I know, and I've, because I've been living this, it's not always easy. It's not always the simplest, but it is beautiful and it is powerful when we begin to walk in it. And I want to really encourage you to say, as we share this, this is not something that happens tomorrow. It's not something that happens in just a month. It's not happened in 6 months or even just 1 year. We recognize as a church, this is a step, a journey that God is calling all of us to begin to walk together and figure this out together. 6-7 years ago as a church, we felt like God called us to the beginning of this, which is that to really lift up that 12, to really say we want to be about a church of grow groups. We know Sunday morning's not enough. We know we got to be a church that's getting together in homes across the city. At the time when we said that, I think we had like 20% of our church that was kind of in some form of small group at the time. And over the course of the years, what we saw is we said, all right, this is our first step to begin to walk this. Now we see 70% of our church is actively a part of a grow group. And that was something God began to build in us as a church, in our lives. I had a lady come up to me after her service. I almost cried as she's telling me the story of her grow group. And she told the story about they were in the worst situation they could possibly be in. They didn't know what to do. And they just said, grow group help. And everyone just shows up and loved on them and took care of them, met needs and things that they could never accomplish began to happen in their lives because people were there. They experienced life together. It wasn't just about meeting once a week. It was about the life of discipleship that God was bringing them into. And they were willing to respond to the call. And she was so excited. She's like, I just wanted to run on stage and just tell everybody in the middle of the sermon. I said, thanks. We're not doing that. But I'm actually hoping that you will hear from her at some point because it is a really beautiful story. And so maybe you're looking at this, you're going, well, okay, I think I understand this more, but I still have questions. That's okay. We all got questions. We're going to begin to answer those questions at the church. Or maybe you're looking at some of this and going like, okay, I think I might know where I even might already be doing this. How can I kind of enter into the pathway here at Bethany doing that as well? Come talk to me. Come talk to Tammy DeLau. We would love to help you begin to walk this more. Maybe you're saying, I don't know if I'm really in a part of this at all yet. Well, you know what? There's always just that first step. And even if you're not sure exactly how to enter it, we'd love to help you figure that out. Even this morning to head over to Next Steps, I'll be there, Tammy will be there, others will be there. We'd love to help you figure out how you can begin to walk this together. But please note, we know that this is a new season that God is calling us to, that we will be patiently but passionately wanting to walk together. So would you pray with me right now? I want to come back to that question I asked just a minute ago. Come back to that, how do I begin to passionately follow Christ? If last week you were willing to say, after you heard Pastor Thad, there's no other way to follow Jesus, you're like, okay, I'm ready to do this, but how do I do this? To maybe just between you and God right now, maybe you have to be like the man that came to Jesus and sort of say, Lord, I believe, please help me with my unbelief. Lord, I know this is where you want me to go, help me do it. I want to invite you just for a few moments to come before Jesus. Say, Lord, how are you asking me to begin to enter this lifestyle of discipleship? To join with my church family, but really join with you and what you've called all of us to. Lord Jesus, as we begin to walk this as a church, we know we need you. So make yourself known, remembering that promise at the end of that commission, remembering that you are with us always. You are leading. You are moving. We can't by our power, we can't by our might, but you can, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.